Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, a Tom Hanks podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say thanks for Hanks. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to You've Got Hanks. This is the podcast about Colin Hanks. My name is Rachel, and today I'm very excited because I have one of my favorite people in the entire world. She's one of my friends. She's also a podcast host of one of my favorite podcasts. she's an actor, comedian, great voice actor, great singer, too, ingenue TikToker as well, Claire Loughran.
Hello. Oh, my gosh. I am touched by that introduction. That is so nice.
I added in a few extra things.
That was so nice. My goodness. I'm so excited to be here. So excited to chat. We love chatting movies, obviously. So yeah, it's fun to throw a new one.
Yeah, and this one was interesting. Okay, so we're talking about Barry Monday from 2010, which I was promised had Colin Hanks in it. but you know, it's
Blink
a surprise.
You'll miss him.
Yeah. For anyone who hasn't seen Barry Monday, the synopsis from IMDb is: Barry Monday wakes up after being attacked to realize that he's missing his family jewels. To make matters worse, he learns he's facing a paternity lawsuit filed by a woman he can't remember having sex with. how accurate is that?
It's pretty accurate. I feel like from the description, I was like, oh boy. And from like the first bit, I guess what you might call act one, I don't really know if that's the right term. It felt like it was going to be one type of movie. And I was like, oh boy. But then it kind of changed and it like softened a little bit. I feel like the description of it makes it sound a lot more like a raunchy kind of comedy.
Yeah. When it first started, the first act, I was like, because I don't really do much research into these movies when I'm asking people.
No, sorry to interrupt, but I prefer that with movies. I think it's just more fun to go for the ride.
Yeah, but I was like, oh no, I made Claire watch this raunchy movie. Because we host a Disney podcast, which is very the opposite of that.
Well, yeah. I do like watching movies that I wouldn't normally. And it's funny because with this one, I don't think I would have stopped to watch it just from the description or, whatever it is. But it has a really great cast. And once you get into it, I was really enjoying it. And also, like you even said, like after the premise of it, it's like, what, really? Like, do we really, is this really, like, come on? And like for the first bit, I was like, are we really just going to talk about this man's testicles for this long? But once we moved past it, then it was interesting.
Yeah. This cast was really great. It's starring Patrick Wilson and Judy Greer.
Yes.
And then it also has Chloe Sevigny. Is that how you say that?
I think so.
Jean Smart. That's Emmy Award winning Jean Smart, right? Malcolm McDowell, yes. Billy Dee Williams, aka Lando Calrissian,
amazing.
Sybil Shepherd,
amazing. Literally everyone who came on screen was a huge celebrity.
Yeah, Missy Pyle,
yes.
Christopher McDonald,
Mae Whitman,
Kyle Gass from Tenacious D.
Oh yes. Willem. Was that Willem?
Yes, Willem, but uncredited.
Uncredited?
And then Matt Winston, who we just saw in an episode of Inside the Disney Vault, he played one of the guys in the meeting with all the guys with the dick problems, but he in Starstruck, he was the director.
Oh, seriously?
Uh-huh.
This, I didn't recognize.
Yeah.
I watched these movies back to back and I did not catch that.
Yeah.
And I think that guy looked familiar though. In Star
Yeah. Star. Yeah. Well, he's, for anyone who doesn't know, he is the guy from Passport to Paris. That's how I know him. When I see him, that's what I think.
Okay.
And then, of course, we have Colin Hanks as Heavy Metal Greg.
Yes, absolutely. I literally watched this whole movie and I was like, Colin Hanks is in this movie. I know he's going to be in this movie. And I watched the whole movie and I was like, wait a second. Who was he? Because then I thought he might have been like a voiceover, because there was also the guy on the phone, the lawyer or something. Yeah. So I thought maybe he was that. Because I feel like Colin Hanks pops up in a bunch of smaller projects a bunch as like people's, because he's friends with people. So he'll do fun little things.
Yeah. And that's something that, like, I noticed in season one with Tom. Tom would do that, too, because there was this one, Elvis Has Left the Building movie, where Tom shows up. So it's a movie about a bunch of different Elvises dying.
Oh.
It's like a funny comedy, I guess. I don't know. And Tom plays an Elvis who dies by a mailbox falling on his head. And oh, it's just one insert shot of Tom Hanks's dead head in a mailbox, like doing like one of those fake like,
with your tongue. Oh, that's so wild.
And that was it. I watched a whole movie just for that. And so that's kind of what this felt like. But at least it was a little bit more of a performance.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's also a fun thing about this podcast is you set out to watch all the movies and get all the knowledge of what they're in, and big or small, you've seen them all. There.
Yeah. So let's talk about Colin's small performance. So Barry Monte is the lead character, and he has like also, so he's a little raunchy at the beginning. He's like, I love sex. And it's like a lot of insert shots of women's boobies. And
he fancies himself sort of a Casanova, is that the word you would use? Or like a, he thinks he's really smooth and like can pick up women easily, but it's also clear that they're kind of disgusted by him.
Yeah. So
it's like in his own mind only.
Yeah, they're like settling for him. But he has a friend that's like kind of like a wingman, and they do stuff together. And that friend is really into performance.
Think they were doing, like, I think it was a air guitar competition.
Oh, okay. He was at an air guitar competition, and Colin was one of the contestants, Heavy Metal Greg.
Yes, I think so.
Who's doing a performance. Was he singing or was he lip syncing?
I think he was lip syncing.
Okay. Honestly, great job, Colin. Great job.
Great job.
I
only thought that because I think I've seen those air guitar competitions, and they literally just, you know, like lip sync and do that with it. But then, oh yeah, you're right, because he was lip syncing too. But it was really good lip syncing.
It was. Wait, so have you been to an air guitar competition?
Oh no, I wish. I've only seen on television or the internet that there really are competitions for that, and people go wild. They get really intense. They like get, you know, really involved with how accurate they're being.
That's fun. We should do that.
We should do an air guitar competition. And and you can choose different instruments. You could have a whole band that's an air band.
I did. Last night I went to, this isn't air guitar, but I think everyone kind of, when there's like a guitar break in a song, they kind of just like they make the noises, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I went to a concert last night, and there was a moment where there is like a guitar riff moment, and I could hear everyone in the audience making the guitar noises with their mouths. So,
like they're singing along.
Yeah, and it was very funny that I was like, this is a really human moment where like, you do that too?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's so funny, because it's true, now that I'm thinking of the breaks and songs, like, meow, 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 meow. Like, yeah, you gotta sing along.
Yeah. Even though really I was thinking like the Sting song, is it Sting where he's like, ba-dum, 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 ba-dum.
Oh, Phil Collins in the air tonight.
Phil. Oopsies. Yeah.
I can feel
you
it.
Love Phil.
I love Phil. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I got you. That's Phil Collins.
Yeah. Some man drove by my window the other day because I live next to a stop light, and he was blasting his music, and he was listening to that song, and right at the moment that it was a but that's when he drove by, and I was like, what a perfect moment.
That is the kind of thing that you have to just thank the universe for.
Yeah.
That is so funny. It was at the breakdown. Also, that song is so funny because that is the big moment of it, which is like not really that big of a moment. It's just when the drums have a little break.
Yeah.
Do, 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 do. But you know, there actually is, I will get off of my Phil Collins tangent in a second, but there's a live version of that song, and I love it so much because it's got this really, really long introduction where it has sort of like ambient music playing, and then finally the audience recognizes what song he's playing and they go wild. And I love that.
Yeah.
Any live performance when the audience recognizes the song. It's so good.
Yeah. That happened last night too. I kind of knew their set list. So I knew like their big song was coming next. And so like they started playing it and I could tell it was the song right away. I was like, ah, and no one else. But then once it really got into it and the rest of the audience clued in, everyone started screaming. And I was like, ah.
It's such a rush. It's so good. I made a playlist that was just live performances that have that moment because it makes me feel so happy.
It's good. But it's also funny, too, because listening, sometimes you're like, why did it take the audience so long to recognize?
Right, right. Yeah.
Like, dummies.
You guys. Yeah. There tonight. Yes. Yeah. And then you get kind of the secondary once it gets to the drum solo.
Yeah.
Specifically for that.
Yeah,
he did it. He played the song.
Well, Colin in this movie was great. He did his air guitar performance really well.
He had a cool wig on. He had a cool like leathery outfit on.
Yeah, heavy metal. Blink and you miss him.
Seriously.
Do you think this was like, how long do you think Colin was on set?
That's a great question. I feel like maybe half a day.
Half a day, yeah.
Because it was, even though it... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go.
Oh, I was just going to say, even though it was pretty short, it was... You do see him for a good bit, so I feel like they must have choreographed a whole thing and had to film it a bunch.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. And then also, like, I guess to get into his heavy metal gear, he probably had to be there for hair and makeup.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
The only trivia for this movie on IMDb is that Gene Smart and Patrick Wilson also worked together on 9 episodes of Fargo, which they should have put Colin in there because Colin was also on Fargo.
Oh, can you update the facts?
I don't know. But also I know that each season of Fargo is a different cast. So I don't know if they were all in the same season of Fargo.
Oh, I see.
I'm not going to watch it until it gets, I'm supposed to, you know.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not going to jump ahead in Colin's career.
Exactly. Yeah. No spoilers.
No spoilers.
We want to see how this plays out chronologically.
But basically, so... He gets attacked by Mae Whitman's dad at a movie theater.
We still don't ever know what happened or why, do we?
And we, like, in my head, I was like, oh, is she, like, underage? That was, like, something that
seem very young.
Yeah, I worried about. And then also that would be why her dad would be so upset. But they never explained it, really. And I'm... Part of me is glad because if they had made her underage, then that would have made this movie worse.
Oh, yeah. No. Such a bummer.
Yeah.
It was already a bummer in a lot of ways. Yeah. But
yeah.
But yeah, that would have taken a different, darker turn.
Also, this movie kind of is like, you could tell it's written by a man where it's like, this guy is like a sex-loving man until he realizes that he's having a kid and then he calms down. And it's like... That's the kind of thing that's like men do that all. Not, I mean, I can't say this a blanket statement because I'll get yelled at. But, you know, men do this all the time where they're like, you know, I didn't realize until I had daughters of my own, you know.
That's the classic politician statement of like, you know, now I understand. Or, I have daughters. Like, what? You have daughters. OK, but also you realize that women are people that have been around the whole time you've been alive and deserve the same rights, et cetera, et cetera. I actually had a similar thought too in the beginning scenes, and I was like, I just don't know what the female equivalent of this would be, like what a woman would write about, like something of your body that is like so, that's been taken away, that's such a threat to your identity and like this sort of, you know, role you think you play in society. I was like, this is such a, it felt very male to be like, I don't have my testicles anymore, so now I can't be a ladies' man.
Yeah.
Whereas it did seem, so he was like, pretty unlikable from the start.
Yeah. I feel like the women equivalent would be like a drama that's about like a woman who's like dealing with breast cancer and has to get rid of her boobs, you know? And like, then dealing with the, and that's like a real thing that people go through. So like, the women equivalent is much more nuanced. I don't know, or like, because women can't really have their vaginas chopped off, you know?
Yeah, or it's like, women's stuff is more internal.
Yeah.
So, I guess but
I don't know, but yeah,
it was interesting because it kind of felt like they were trying to be a little bit slapsticky and silly with it, but then it did turn into a little bit more of a nuanced discussion on, you know, identity and that sort of thing. However, then again, he becomes attached to the idea of being a father because this is potentially the only chance that he will ever have.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then Judy Greer plays the woman who gets pregnant, and they know for sure that it's his baby because she's a virgin.
Right.
Who has sex one night with this random man, right. Barry Monte.
And he doesn't remember.
Yeah. Which then leads to him questioning whether or not he's actually the father. But she's like, no, I was a virgin before I met you. I haven't slept with anyone else. So, like, has to be. But there is one point where this movie gets a little... You know, something that this man is like, your baby is half Asian. And he's like, what? It's like, I can tell that baby's eyes are definitely half Asian. And I was like,
I did not like that. No, that made me very uncomfortable. I was like, this, why, you don't have to, we don't have to go here with this storyline. It's that you shouldn't ever do that anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I understand, like, they were trying to bring up doubt in him because he had just been like, oh, sure, I'll sign the paper. Like, I don't want a paternity test. No way. Because he did sort of fall in love with the idea of being a dad and that this was his baby. But, yeah, that got very icky.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Also, because that man was so confident that baby was half Asian. Yeah. And it's like, sir, you don't know.
No, mind your own business.
Yeah. And then also, then he started getting paranoid about the neighbor who was Asian.
It was wild. I didn't like that.
Yeah. But yeah, he doubts at one point, he doubts that he is, but then he, they like get to know, like she like tells a story of how they met and how she was having a bad day because some man called her ugly or something like that. So she needed a confidence boost. So she went and slept with him. So sad. And
it's sad. Like, and also,
in the movie, it's funny. But when you say it back, it sounds very sad.
Well, it is. And also Judy Greer's character is interesting, too, because she's another one who's not very likable. But it's, again, sad because her family doesn't like her. Like, her family sort of, like I don't know if you caught this, but there was a scene when they go over to her parents' house, and there's a family portrait behind them, and there's a trophy in front of Judy Greer's face in the photo, but her sister is fully visible. So it's just they were hinting at all these things where the parents just love her sister but not her at all. However, she's also... she's kind of mean and closed off, but I guess maybe that's why, is because her family treats her this way. So she's another tricky character to like.
Yeah, she was hard to like, but then also you just felt bad. Yeah. Also, she wanted to have a water birth, which is fine. But there is a girl from my high school who's had like 4 or 5 babies now, all different daddies. And I'm from Florida, and she has always had a water birth in her home. And it just like you put a little pool in your living room and you just have the baby right there. And she likes to hire these photographers to come over and take pictures of the water birth and then post those pictures on Facebook. And the first time she did it, they were black and white. And I was telling someone about them recently, and I went back to look at to find them. And turns out for her most recent baby birth, she had another photographer there. But this time the photos were in color.
New aesthetic.
Yeah. And I'm just saying, I don't want to see the color.
Is it like birth, an action shot?
Birth is really... a lot is happening, and I don't want to see the colors. I'll just say that. I don't want to see the colors of a baby birth. Black and white, if you must have your water birth shown on Facebook for people to see, black and white is very artistic. Color is very scientific, and I don't...
Scientific. I'm curious now.
I'll try to send you some screenshots if you would
also
like.
Also, is that strange of me?
No. I mean, I said it once to someone, and they were like, I want to see it, and I showed it, and they were like, oh, and I was like, yeah, it's a horrifying thing. You know, but childbirth is a beautiful thing, you know?
It's quite literally a miracle I do not understand.
Yeah, I don't understand it. But yeah, so that water birth scene made me think of this girl from my high school and how she insists on having a water birth at home.
I kind of understand wanting a water birth because it seems like it's natural and it soothes you. And if you're in your own home, it's nice because, you know, you're comfortable. You're not rushing around to a hospital and in this location that might feel very severe or uncomfortable for a lot of people. But I don't know.
Yeah,
I think I also have a lot of friends who are, I feel like I have at least a few friends who are doulas, and so I think that's what they specialize in, is that kind of thing, is going to someone's home and helping them deliver a baby. So it's interesting that there are different ways to do it.
Yeah, I recently saw that one movie that was big last year about the people who tried to have a baby at home, but then the baby died. Hold on. I'm trying to Google Pieces of a Woman. It was a Netflix film, Pieces of a Woman, starring Vanessa Kirby. It's about a woman who wants a naturalistic home birth, but it doesn't go well.
Oh no, that sounds so sad.
Oh, and Shia LaBeouf's in it. He plays the husband. I forgot Shia was in it. But yeah, it was the home birth scene was like, I think, all one take. And it was like at the beginning of the movie. And it was just very, very traumatizing.
Oh my gosh. Everything about birth is scary to me.
Yeah. about it. So anyone who does it, honestly, I'm just... Wow. It is a miracle. It is a miracle, and it's something that I don't think some people just aren't going to I don't know. Anyway, but I do like friends having babies, even though I probably won't have one. Just it's not in the cards right now, but I do like that my friends are having babies, because on TikTok the other day I saw a video of these people who carved a pumpkin and put it on their toddler's head and then had a photo shoot with the toddler with the pumpkin on his head, and it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. And I sent it to all my friends who have babies, and I was like, please do this with your baby. So
yes, that is so good. That reminds you, was it Megan Thee Stallion who carved the pumpkin and has those photos like sitting on the bed with the pumpkin head on?
I don't know.
It's very funny. And then everyone's made memes out of it where it's like me watching Hocus Pocus for the 37th time this week. It's
That's so funny. Yeah. No. Now I kind of want to do that, but I don't really want to stick a pumpkin on my head. But I don't know. I would. Maybe I would. Yeah.
Oh, yes. It's her. It's so funny. Oh, my God. I can send it to you.
Okay.
It's so good. Yeah. I think that, I mean, logistically, the pumpkin on the head, it doesn't sound great, but it's a lot better than a turkey on the head.
Yes, like turkey friends. On the head is, see, pumpkin on your head, I feel like you could clean out a pumpkin pretty well.
Yeah.
But a turkey, that's dangerous. That's uncooked true. Meat on yeah. your head? No, thank yeah. you.
You also really couldn't, like, I don't think there's a lot of space in a turkey.
No. But also, speaking of childbirth, I didn't know there was a lot of space to have a baby come out, but you know.
Oh my God, the logistics of that are so frightening.
Yeah. But you know, it's
like, honestly, there still isn't that much. Like, you dilate to 10 centimeters, that's not a lot of room.
I don't know. Honestly, applause all around for anyone who's ever had a baby.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
You're brave. You are ferocious.
You are winning. but yeah, basically Barry is just like gonna have this baby with this woman and having to deal with their families together, and like her family is weird. Her sister is like flirting with Barry the whole time.
Yeah, that was so strange. Fortunately, Barry does not like it and tries yeah. to shut it down at every turn, which, again, I think is to show, you know, oh, look, he's growth. Changing. Yeah.
Yeah. But there is a moment where they kind of explain at the end where, like, the sister is jealous of what Judy Greer's character has. I guess she says, like, you know, she's flirting with him because she's jealous a little. Mm-hmm. But then there's also something that's never fully explained, but kind of is, that like the sister is also like a dancer at a strip club.
Right. Yes. And that was the weird thing too, is that to me as a viewer, it was pretty clear that it was her, and yeah. Barry was convinced it was her, but then he says it at dinner, or, you know, he tries to, you know, like let everybody her. Know that she was a dancer, and yeah, and she denies it, but then later on kind of hints that it really was her, even though
yeah, because there's like a priest over for dinner, and he's like, there's no way that could have been her, we were all hanging out Friday night at 10:30 or something like that.
Yeah, that was, and so weird.
Yeah, I was like, so was it her, or was it just someone in a wig that looked like her? Anyway.
Yeah, and what is the point of us all thinking that it was her?
That was also something that they didn't really need to add into this movie, just like the way that they had him doubting the baby, you know?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah, there was enough going on already with his transformation from, you know, from
yeah.
pre-baby to post-baby.
And then there was also that he couldn't remember what happened to him after he had his balls chopped off at the movie theater. He like kept saying that he didn't know what happened, and I don't think he ever explained that either.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like what? Yeah. It was just all very strange that there were no answers, because presumably the other people in the movie theater would have gotten involved in some way or had questions yeah. as well, or, but Barry just blacks out and doesn't.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, because he says he doesn't remember how, but I'm wondering if he actually does remember, because it's the guy with the trumpet or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Or saxophone. What was
there
what
was an
the
instrument, name? Yeah.
So I'm sure is he lying? That's another question. Is he lying that he doesn't know, or, and he's just embarrassed by it, or does he really not remember? That's another question that they never answer.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of unanswered questions.
Yeah. Also, his friend, I guess, wins the air guitar competition, but we only see Colin Hanks perform.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that performance?
Where is that performance? There's, I would have liked, yeah, I could have watched some more air guitar for sure.
Yeah. There's a lot missing in this movie. But yeah,
I do kind of. I presume this is an. Is this an indie film? I presume it is.
It was Magnolia Pictures was the production company.
Because I do kind of like when films sort of don't or go against your expectations or do leave some questions, because then, you know, we get to discuss them like this.
Yeah.
But yeah, also this time there were a lot of like, wait, why was that there? Or did I need to wonder about that? Or I don't know.
Yeah. Also, this movie, I guess it is an indie, maybe. This movie is only an hour and 35 minutes, so not that long mm-hmm. of a watch if you need to. Apparently, according to IMDb, it's also known as Family Jewels.
Oh, okay.
Which I guess that is, but if I saw that though, that title, I would think it was about jewelry.
You would?
Yeah. Instead of his balls. But anyway, it was filmed in LA. Well, so I don't know. I guess
Carmen
it is
Electra
an
was
film.
In it?
Was she in it?
It says she played iconic beauty.
Oh.
There were so many people in this.
Yeah. Wow. It has a 5.8 out of 10 on IMDb. It's rated R. Wow. Okay. Well, back to Colin. What mm-hmm. would you say is your favorite Colin Hanks movie or TV show?
Let's see. So when I think immediately, I want to say House Bunny, but I actually was looking up to see what else, because I mean, I love House Bunny. But he pops up in so many things.
Yes.
He's in Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. I don't remember.
He plays, here's the thing, I loved it. At the end, when they all come out of the video game, we never find out who Nick Jonas is, and it turns out it was Colin Hanks. So the kid that goes in the 80s or something like that, right?
Oh.
Turns out to be, that's Colin Hanks, because at the end he's like across the street and it's like, hey, that's
the kid. Oh, wow. Okay. So then also he's credited as being in That Thing You Do?
Yes. He plays the usher who ushers in Liv Tyler to the last performance.
Oh my gosh. What? How have I think actually you've mentioned that before and I can't believe that I never noticed it.
Yeah. It's a blink and you miss it moment.
He's got so many good ones of those. Yeah. So I would definitely say House Bunny, because also that's really where you get to see Colin shine and have a nice sized role.
He plays Oliver. when she does the thing where she says people's, I can't do it.
Cinderella.
Yeah.
It hurts. It hurts.
Yeah.
Carry me.
It's like, it's really guttural in your throat and it's hard to do. But yeah. He plays Oliver, the guy who works at the nursing home, and she's like, you have a house for nurses? So funny. That movie's great. 10 for so 10 good. We recommend.
So good.
Yeah, I think that's also so far my favorite Colin Hanks movie, but we don't know yet.
Don't know. You got 11 more years to cover.
Yeah. Wow. But yeah, I love Colin so far. A lot of misses. I will say that. Just a lot of like, what? But, you know, overall a fun ride. And it's like you're hanging out with Colin Hanks. It can't be that bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you have any other thoughts on Barry Monday?
No. Actually, one thought I did. I was like, this is kind of like Knocked Up.
Oh, yeah. When did Knocked Up come out?
2007. So this was after.
Yeah. Maybe they saw the success of Knocked Up and they're like, we could do that.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, like it is. I mean, obviously it's got many differences, but a little bit of the same premise as, you know, two people who don't know each other who then decide to make it work when they have a baby.
Yeah.
Different take.
They do end up being a very cute couple at the end. And I do like what he says at the end of the movie. He's like, I definitely didn't plan for this. And if you had told me this is where I'd end up, I'd be like, what? But like, I can't picture my life any other way.
Yeah, I liked that they both grew to like each other a lot. Because at first I was, oof. I was like, wow. It was crazy because it went from Barry being kind of unlikable to Barry being the one trying to make it work.
Yeah.
And then they both did. And that was nice. It was nice and to have a nice, happy ending.
Daughter, Cornelia.
Corny.
Who?
I liked that part, too, when she was like, I don't care if other people are going to make fun of her name. That's their problem.
Yeah. Did you have any nicknames with your name?
No, people call me Claire Bear a lot. But no. Did you?
Yeah. Not really. My family calls me Ray Ray, but that's not anything. But some people would say on the dance team, Ray Cha Cha.
Oh.
But
that's fun because it's dancey.
Yeah. But I wouldn't recommend it. I think it's easier to say Rachel than Ray Cha Cha, you know? In my letter from Tom Hanks, he called me Ray Ray, so...
Oh, my gosh. He knew. Yeah,
he knew.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, for season two of the podcast, I'm having my guest... okay. So, Colin Hanks has a line of Hankskerchiefs, and they're handkerchiefs, but called Hankskerchiefs. Mm-hmm. They're just regular. They look like bandanas, but they're not a bandana. That's what the hashtag... they're Hankskerchiefs. Having my guests design Hankskerchiefs based on the movie they saw. So if you were designing a Hankskerchief based on Barry Monday, what would you put on it?
Okay. So my first instinct was to make it all about Colin and his look, his persona. And it would be kind of like a close up of his face with his cool hair. Or maybe even like a little bit zoomed out. You could see his air guitar skills with maybe like flames in the background.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think that would be fun. But if it's on Barry Monday as a whole,
yeah,
that's trickier. I don't know. Because the imagery of this, I don't know.
Do you have ideas? Just... have a Colin Hanks one. It doesn't have to be very specific Barry Monday.
Okay. Then I do like the Colin Hanks idea. And I would say maybe it'll be like the green. It would be outlined in like the green of his outfit.
Oh, yeah. I like it.
Thank you.
I would buy a Barry. It would be called the Barry Monday Hankskerchief. Yes. And people are like, wow, I blinked and I missed it.
Yes. How could you miss Colin Hanks's part in this? It was integral.
Do you think it was a thing where he was like friends with one of the people who worked on the movie and they're like, hey, we have this really bit part. Do you want to come in and do it? Do you think he auditioned for this?
I think that he was friends. I also think whoever cast this or whoever made it was friends with a lot of people because this it's got amazing people and a lot of amazing people in parts that are not gigantic.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it probably was just like a bunch of friends getting together and making a movie.
And I like that atmosphere for it because I think that does make this movie, it just sort of gives it more character, I think. Because you're like, oh, what's this person going to do? Oh, Cybill Shepherd is, okay, we just see her for a couple scenes and then that's it.
She just goes, yeah, seems like fun. Okay. Also something I'm doing for season two is I'm making my guests do a BuzzFeed quiz loosely based on the movie they saw. This quiz that I've picked out is called You're Actually a Specific Kind of Dad. Let's find out which one together.
Okay.
So you're going to find out which kind of dad you are.
Okay.
First question. First, pick your favorite animal. Dog, horse, parrot, or hamster?
Dog.
Now pick an outfit to rock. Okay, these are pictures, so I have to describe them to you. Okay. The first one is like a really fancy suit. Like, mm-hmm. It's got the vest kind of suit.
Okay.
And the next one is like a rugged, Henley t-shirt with a beanie, you know, mm-hmm. like rugged man. And the next one is a silly outfit with a big bow, and it looks like kind of like a clown outfit, maybe.
Okay.
And then the last one is cool surf shorts, and that's it. You're just like wearing cool surf shorts on the
I'm
beach.
I'm going with the beanie and the Henley.
Okay. Next, pick an activity. Gambling, building anything, watching a funny movie, or scuba diving?
Watching a funny movie.
Oh, yeah. Now pick a yummy food. Burger with all the fixins, mac and cheese, steak dinner, or seared scallops on a bed of pasta.
Seared scallops on a bed of pasta.
That one I read and I was like, oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, next pick a gift to give your child. Hand-carved wooden bed, diamond bracelet, skis, or a pogo stick?
To give my child?
Yeah.
I would say pogo stick, but I kind of like the idea of the hand-carved wooden bed if it was something I made.
Yeah. Well, you are. If this is you, then you're the dad, so you're going to pick a wooden bed.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Lastly, pick a destination. Sacred Lakes of Japan, Disneyland Resort and Theme Park, fishing in Idaho, or Eiffel Tower?
I mean, you know I gotta go Disneyland, especially if I'm a dad. I gotta take my family.
Yeah, then you could be featured on the Disneyland Dad's Instagram.
Ooh, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, you got Rugged Dad. You're the kind of dad who builds your child's playhouse by hand with wood you've chopped in the forest. Your
That's
main
me.
Mode of transportation is horseback. You enjoy catching your own dinner. You are likely to teach your child how to survive extreme circumstances. And it's a picture of a lumberjack man with a chainsaw.
That sounds exactly like me. This Nailed it. This quiz was magic. I don't know how they got that.
You are a rugged dad.
Rugged dad has eaten sea scallops on a bed of pasta while at Disneyland.
Yeah, sounds fun.
I know.
Hopefully one day a woman will come find you and say, you are the father. Oh. And you'll be like, well, good. Now I can be the rugged dad I've always dreamt of being.
Yes, I hope so. I can't wait to be rugged dad.
Yeah. Okay. Now's the time to rate this movie out of 5 Colin Hankses. How many Colin Hankses do you give Barry Monday?
Okay, out of 5 Colin Hankses, I'll give it 3 because it did surprise me. I think it grew on me as it went. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the ride. Again, the cast was so fun to watch. And it was interesting to see two characters who were not incredibly likable, learn to navigate this situation with each other, and then become a little bit more, for me as an audience member, to be able to become a little more sympathetic to them and their situation. And then they ended up happy. So it turned into a fun watch.
Yeah. I will also give it 3, but I'm going to take away half a Colin because there wasn't much Colin in this movie.
Good point.
So that was really upsetting to me. Like, I expected a little bit more Colin, you know, because at this point in his career, he's doing much more than just, like, little tiny bits, you know, like, give him a bigger bit to do. But it was a fun bit. So 2.5 Colins. So 2 Colins and a Chet for me.
It's also pretty funny that his face was mostly covered because I think he had sunglasses on as well.
Yeah.
So it was very hard to recognize that it was him.
It was like, I could tell it was Chet. I mean, I could tell it was Colin. Sorry. Oh, my gosh. I could tell it was Colin. But I feel like anyone else watching the movie would be like, wait, who's that? Oh. Yeah. Or like at the end of the movie when they're like, Heavy Metal Greg was Colin Hanks. That was Colin Hanks.
I love that. That is fun. It felt like this movie was fun, full of little surprises like that.
Yeah.
Because normally, you know, those you may not know who those actors are, but this time it was like a bunch of fun surprises.
Yeah. It was really fun to see Billy Dee Williams in something other than Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Well, any last thoughts on Barry Monday or Colin Hanks?
No, this is what a fun journey. I love it, and I'm so happy I got to be a part of it.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. Where can people find you?
Oh, you know, you can find me on Instagram at Clary Poppins, C-L-R-Y underscore Poppins, and TikTok at Clary Poppins. Or you can listen to Inside the Disney Vault, which you may or may not have heard of if you are already a fan of You've Got Hanks. and that's available on all platforms.
Yeah. Wow, this was really fun talking to you about something that was the complete opposite of a Disney movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for being my guest. And thank you everyone. Hanks, for listening. Okay, bye.
Bye.
It's a Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, a Tom Hanks podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say thanks.